Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today, we're going to dabble and dance around the health topics right here. So we're going to talk about the immune function, some tactics of how we can keep in a resilient immune system, including how gargling with salt water can prevent COVID. We're going to talk a little bit about testosterone and people looking for testosterone therapy and what we can do to optimize on our own. Talk about some recent 30-day experiments and just leave you with some tactics that can get you hopefully to buy in a little bit more to the health side of things.
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
Before we continue, we need your help. We'd like to reach more like-minded people just like you and share our knowledge on personal growth, health, and success. So can you do us a favor and in your podcast app, hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star review and leave us an encouraging comment. Do it right now while you listen to this episode. That will help us know you're listening and that you care, and a little action will help us reach more folks. Now back to our show. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Manhood Experiment. We got the whole trio back today. We got Big Dreams in the house. We got T-Rex, J-Dragon here. Today is a topic where we're going to dabble and dance around the health topics right here. So we're going to talk about the immune function, some study-based tactics of how we can keep in a resilient immune system, some updated information, including how gargling with salt water can prevent COVID and other immune types of challenges. We're going to talk a little bit about the current world with testosterone, the statistics of people looking for a testosterone therapy and what we can do to optimize and the power of that, you know, on our own. So I'm also going to share my recent blood work and what I've learned about putting some of these things to the test. Talk about some recent 30-day experiments and some observations that come from that. And just leave you with some tactics that can get you hopefully to buy in a little bit more to the health side of things. But before we hop in, let's do a little quick round table and see what's going on, fellas. So what's up, T? What's up, Dreams?
I am good. I'm excited for the testosterone topic because it's such a hot topic. And we covered the TRT part of it earlier this year. So I'm curious to see what you do to keep your testosterone up and give the listeners, male and female, some advice on that. And also that salt water gargling to help your immune system. I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about that.
Yeah,
man. I'm excited about this episode. I think it will be fun because usually when you're talking about testosterone, you know, you take an exam and you find out what tests you're on. All right, that was bad. That was bad. Was it good? Was it good? dropping gems already. Was that worth saving? All right. But yeah.
We'll edit that part
we'll
out, folks.
We'll see. If it ain't work, don't take it out. If it worked, leave it.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Well, shoot, let's get into it. Speaking of testosterone, you know, I had a funny current story. I was just thinking about this. My little brother just moved from, he's just like a little nomad. He was living up in Alaska and he just moved to Tahoe area to work on the mountains and, you know, be about that ski life. And he called me a couple of days ago and he's like, bro, you wouldn't believe what happened to me this morning, how I got woken up. And I was like, oh, tell me about it. And he said he was sleeping with his girlfriend. They live in this small little unit that's right by Lake Tahoe. And he said that his girlfriend woke him up in the middle of the night and like told him to quiet down. She thought he was making a bunch of noise. And they look over in their place. He said he saw this big shadow. He thought it was like a dog had gotten in the house. He said he woke up in the middle of the night because it was so hot. So he cracked his door open to let some cool air in there. And check this out. He said he realized he had to rub his eyes. She started screaming and he had to quiet her down. A bear, a full-size bear,
oh my God,
invited itself into their unit because the door was open and was scavenging around. Said this bear was within like 1 foot from them.
Get out
and
of here.
Randomly, listen to this. I mean, he had just come from Alaska taking people on tours where he was working with bears. I think the average person would have just frozen up and just like curled up in a ball in the corner. He realized he was in a predicament because the door closed behind the bear. So now a bear is in their little one-bedroom place with a closed door. So he said based on the proximity, he couldn't get out of the window. He had to get to the door, hide behind the door, open the door. And fortunately, the bear went out. And as it was getting out, he closed the door and the bear put his head and was trying to get back
in. Oh, my God.
But he said it was just the craziest story. And I so
you can't write that.
That sounds like the movies.
Yeah, bro, that's right? A movie. Like in the
movies. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And he said that where they're at, out in the wild, you see, I mean, a lot of bears are around. This type of the year, they're starting to kind of like chill out or hibernate or whatever the case is.
Dude.
So he said it was just a crazy experience. And they said that, like, yeah, obviously that's a no-no is keeping your doors open. I can say from camping in places like Yosemite, there's tons of reminders. Don't leave any food out this night, but take some testosterone.
Don't feed the bear. So Yogi was just right up there in his crib. Damn. Hey, boo-boo, what's up? Good morning.
Yeah. I have some other friends that have a place up in Tahoe, and they said that multiple times bears have made it into their house and gotten through snacks. So there's a little lesson for you.
That's wild. Wow.
But let's get down and dirty. We're going to keep this short and sweet. I promise you guys there's going to be some real actionable tips here. Part of this started because this is the season where a lot of people are getting sick. And I think that there's some things that you can do to take it into your own hands. I can say that getting sick slows you down, whether, you know, we can think like maybe life kind of slows down a little bit over the holidays, but it doesn't have to so much that you're going to get yourself behind. And a couple things here. So I noticed that everyone was around was getting sick, whether it was just a cough or a cold. It came through my house. Maybe my little baby daughter got it when we took her to the daycare at the gym. But regardless, her first like real sickness that she had, which interfered with her sleep, which interfered with our sleep, and then wifey got sick. And I started just bringing in the troops as far as doing all the homework that I had, bringing in extra N-acetylcysteine that's shown some benefits. There's a lot of research that showed how it was really beneficial through the whole corona type of period that was going on, but it really helps with respiratory health and reducing inflammation. Getting the humidifier to make sure that we're not drying out, because when our little capillaries and everything in our throat are dried out, it's more likely that we're going to have challenges filtering everything through our nose and our nasal cavities as it is.
Quick question on that. Yeah. You put that close to your bedroom, the humidifier. Yeah.
So I bought a couple of humidifiers. So think about this correlation. You know, I heard old Huberman talking about this in a recent episode as well, is part of the reason people get sick, people think like, oh, it's just the season, the winter, people get sick because it's cold. The correlation that you have to think about is, well, when it's cold, there's less light outside. So people are getting out less fresh air. They're indoors. Mm-hmm. And when you're indoors, there's more synthetic or artificial heat, and that heat dries us up a whole lot more. So part of when you're outside, maybe it is more dry. So we need to be thinking about what we can do to increase and improve that humidity. And we can do that with a humidifier, making sure that you're not drying out throughout your nose. And that's more important than ever, that you are breathing through your nose, because you have the filters that really play a big role in filtering out a lot of just the toxins and crap that is in the air. And so
that's real.
in addition to doing what you can to reduce inflammation, this is a really big tactic. And you can think about this. There's been studies that show that, that people that exercise have just a more resilient immune system, maybe because you could think, well, oh yeah, you're around people. And so you're constantly just building this diversity with your immune system. You can think about it that way. And so I went a little deeper and I created this. It started with a post on Twitter. And I just started looking at relevant, the top 10 studies on how exercise benefits the immune system. And I thought this was really interesting. And I want to provide some context here, because I think for most people, we can assume that we're probably not exercising and moving enough. Now, certainly there's a sweet spot. And what I mean by that is, like, you can overdo it. If you're over too much working out is stress on the body if you are under recovering. But working out, when you find that sweet spot, and if you find that people are getting sick or you feel like your body has some inflammation, your challenge, the sweet spot for most people, like if you think about a level of exertion between 1 and 10, is probably going to be somewhere between like a 5, 6, or 7. So like, and you're thinking resistance training. And so you think maybe you keep your sessions a little bit shorter, like 20, 25, 30 minutes, but it's really important for playing a role in getting your lymph moving, help producing those antibodies that can help your body defend itself. But I'm just going to read over a few of the top 10 studies. We won't really go too deep into them, but the number one was, one way is how regular exercise has been linked to increased activity of immune cells, such as T cells and natural killer cells. So this was a study documented by Simpson et al. In 2012 that was all around enhanced immune cell activity by working out. You got to think that we're challenging our body and it is really helping our cells be more resilient. Another study in 2012 talks about how exercise helps regulate inflammation, contributing to a healthier immune response. And there's a handful of other ones that talk about stress reduction, how chronic stress weakens the immune system, but exercise mitigates stress because of the endorphin release that you get, how, you know, when you exercise, you feel better for that moment that helps combat stress, that really changes the whole chemistry of your body. And that includes how it supports your gut microbiome. And then the other big factor of respiratory health. This is a touchy one. You can think that, like, if you're noticing people are coughing a lot around you, if you're feeling something in your chest, it's not the time to go out and sprint and really overexert to where you're out of breath. Mm-hmm. But there is benefit in getting blood flow and circulation. And that's where I like to think these little fitness snacks, like you get out and jump rope or so on. And for me,
that makes sense. Like,
I could feel my body fighting and defending some stuff over this last couple of weeks. So instead of running hard or doing crazy training, I was getting on my jump rope a lot. And I thought that that steady motion of just jumping was getting my lymph moving. Think if you have lymph nodes under your armpits, you have it in your neck. Mm-hmm. And that was just allowing circulation to flow. And I noticed I felt better. And when you break down these endorphins that you get, when you exercise for the following 2 to 3 hours, you have this lighter sense of well-being that comes from that, in addition to the circulation throughout the body. Mm-hmm. So a couple other fun studies were, you know, how it obviously helps with blood circulation. So that's carrying a lot of transporting those immune cells throughout the body.
Can I speak to that part before you jump off of that topic of blood circulation? Yeah. I found a little post here. You know how I like to research and things like that. So I found this little content, helpfully kind of explains a little bit of how this actually connects with your lymphatic system, your blood cells and T cells. It's by bjsm.bmj.com. So you guys can check that out. You can put that in the notes. But basically, your lymphatic system has a concentration, it's increased due to recruitment of all lymphatic subpopulations to the blood. And by what they mean by subpopulations are your cells. So you have cells like CD4 T cells, or you have cells called CD16, which are known as, you know, your natural killer cells. These are the ones that they're attacking the things killer that are cells. Foreign to your body, right? And basically how this connects to exercise, these NK or natural killer cells increase in number during exercise. But what happens is they decline after intense exercise. And this lasts for about, you know, at least an hour. So, you know, too much exercise could be detrimental for you. And then just the right amount of exercise, like what Jay is talking about, between a 5 and a 6, could help you increase that population of these killer cells or T cells in your body to help attack foreign bodies and things like that that shouldn't be in your immune system. So hopefully that brings a little clarity.
Man, that's hot. And let's talk about tactics with that. I promise there's going to be times where you are feeling funky and you'd rather just sit down and have some warm chicken noodle soup. Mm. But my challenge is, can you get outside, bundle up, go for a walk, give yourself some little goals? Remember, I talk about this idea of OTMs and fit snacks. OTMs, opportunities to move. And that you can do, like I have a park across the street from my house. I'll take the jump rope over there in a resistance band in literally like 5 minutes, and then I'll come back in throughout my blocks of work. So I try to work in these little blocks. I'll take a break, split it up. I have the luxury of being able to do that working from home. But that's just an example of breaking up these little 5 minute workouts, 10 minute workouts. It doesn't need to be like going to the gym for a long period of time, but those are little tactics. So I wanted to put that out there that this helped me stay resilient. And I've seen that happen with, you know, because I've worked in gyms for a long time, been around trainers, and I felt like being in the gym, like it was more rare that you saw trainers sick that were out for more than a day here and there. Whereas like you see people who can get sick and they get taken down for multiple days at a time. So I just wanted to put that on your guys' radar. You can think about that, of a couple little tactics right now in the season that we're in. Obviously, getting as much nourishment as you can. Warm liquids are huge. So we're thinking about what we can do for our throat and respiratory health. Like warm liquids, I'm big on like Manuka honey and having tea,
Manuka,
things like that in the morning. I felt like would break up a lot of that congestion. And if it breaks up the congestion, you have more energy, you're more likely to move. And that's a cycle compared to you just like, you know, waving the white flag and sitting there. And then sleep is huge. And trust me, the last 2-3 weeks, you're not always going to have the opportunity to get sleep. I mean, I've been up 3-4 times, 5 times a night for the last couple of weeks because our daughter's waking up. And so you got to do what you can with that sleep that you are getting, optimize it and make sure that it's rejuvenating. And here's a tip. I know that I've been getting woken up every night, so I've just moved my bedtime closer. Like by 9 o'clock, I'm in bed. Of course, I'd rather stay up, watch Hard Knocks, catch up on different things, read whatever. But I know that I'm going to get that rejuvenating sleep at that earlier portion of the night.
Jay, run that back. Where do I find this Manuka? Manuka honey.
You know, I just stocked up on it at Costco. I've been using Manuka honey. It's a stronger concentrated honey, typically from like New Zealand, that has shown benefits for immune function, wound healing. And what I do is I put some in my tea and, you know, you can put on pancakes just, but
it's very
soothing.
It's probably double the price.
And it's very expensive.
Very expensive. Yeah. Hey. But if y'all got an expensive taste, you want an expensive immune system.
I can't afford to get sick.
You can't afford to get sick. I like that.
You know, things like that, I believe in. I question the chicken noodle soup that we grew up on, you know.
You know, I'll touch on, exactly, right? I think the broth is powerful. Like, I'll sip on broth because it's giving you minerals and nutrients. It's true. Warm. It's soothing. I think that's the benefit of the chicken noodle soup is that's your delivery vessel for getting the broth in. Like, I buy broth and sip on it, and I'll add some, like, turmeric and, you know, some olive oil in it to absorb more of the fat-soluble vitamins and minerals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's
not ramen
that.
Noodles.
No ramen.
No
ramen.
Ramen's not
awesome.
Ramen's delicious.
Not
going to be good
as a
for
kid,
you.
I ate a lot
high sodium.
Ramen with hot sauce. Y'all ain't ever put hot sauce in your ramen noodles?
Yeah, yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. Oh, believe it. Believe it, baby.
Hey, listeners. This is Big Dreams. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you all for listening to today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. Please follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Manhood Experiment. There, you'll find the latest giveaways and some very funny behind-the-scenes moments. Now, back to the show.
Well, let's keep things moving. We want to keep this short and concise. Other topic that I thought was interesting, I can't help but see this in my world a whole lot, is, you know, still the amount of noise that's going on in the hormone world with testosterone. We did a topic of this. This was probably about 5 months ago, 6 months ago now. So we'll put the notes back in the topic, but I mean, in our notes, but I did my blood work. I do annual blood work just to see my metabolic profile, my labs to see, you know, cholesterol, if I need to be donating blood more often, a number of different things, how my white blood cell count is, all those. And testosterone is something that I've been on top of for the last decade, knowing that I correlate how my testosterone is with my energy, with the results that I'm getting within the gym or so on. And so recently, my blood work showed that my total testosterone was above 900, which is something I'm really proud of for not using any sort of TRT or hormonal types of things.
What's the benchmark?
I was just going to ask that question.
That's a good question.
Listeners could get, yeah.
So if you say average, which not everyone's trying to be average, I mean, it goes from as low as like people have 100 all the way up to typically like that 1,000 type of range, which if you can think that like a young man when he's like 18 to 25 is more likely to be upwards of that 1,000. And as we age, it continues to drop more. But we talked about the statistics, like in the last 20 years alone, that average baseline range has come down like 50%. And so what you could say is now a man in his 20s has equivalent testosterone to a man in his 60s, like of what that would have been like 30, 40 years ago.
Interesting.
Jay, I wanted to also talk to the female listeners as well too. Is it best they check for their testosterone levels too? Do they get benefits from having a higher testosterone?
Yeah, they certainly do. It's important for males and females to monitor your hormone health. I think for females, it's more common to review your thyroid, but looking at where testosterone levels are, you know, it's imperative. I think it gets more attention with males for sure, but where you're looking at why testosterone levels are declining, because it could be the toxins that are in our environment and the products that we put in our skin, the overstimulation and stress factor. So let's just review really quick on why testosterone levels are dropping. And also, I talk about total testosterone and there's free testosterone. So my free testosterone was still on an average to highest around 20. And what that means is you have your total testosterone and then you have your free available testosterone that's not bound to anything. So there's something called SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin, and that is basically what is attaching on to your testosterone, and things like stress or other factors can prevent the amount of testosterone that's actually available. And so why the common reasons right now why people have lower testosterone are environment, the lack of sleep and stress. Like there's the study showing that if you get consistently less than 6 hours of sleep, that drops your testosterone by more than 20%. Under eating is a form of stress. And so too much movement under eating is detrimental to our system. And so by being at too much of a deficit, not eating enough, overweight, you know, so extra adipose, like fat tissue, it can lower your testosterone as well. So these are, I'd say, the most common reasons why people have lower testosterone. And so the fix is there. And mineral deficiencies. Our foods tend to have less minerals in them. And so a deficiency in zinc, vitamin D3, and magnesium are all really beneficial for testosterone. And then extra credit there, boron is something that we used to get a lot more in minerals of our food, but that can help unbound some of that testosterone as it is.
Do you recommend taking those things in supplement forms, and where to get those supplements? What brand you recommend?
Yeah, again, so I'm not a doctor, but I can say, you know, based on the research that I've done and working on myself, like vitamin D3 and a lot of times K2, having that combination is a lot more, you know, you'll be able to absorb this and assimilate a lot more of it, but we're deficient in it because we're not getting enough sunlight. We don't produce a lot of it on our own. So I use Peak Performance vitamin D3 and K2 on Amazon. Great value and quality. I've been using these products for more than, gosh, probably 6-7 years at this point. And then also,
they're a good since brand.
Great brand, Peak Performance. And then also, there's a couple other products we talked about on the episode, like Tongkat Ali and Fadoja Agrestis. These have gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of years, that they're documented to show that they can increase your acute testosterone. And the combination of both of those, also great value. Like I've been using that over the last few months. And same thing through Peak, great value of tying those in. You know, and I get zinc and a couple of different vitamins and supplements that I have. But I've noticed that those, you know, it's undeniable that I've watched my testosterone either stay steady or elevate. And again, my goal is not to need to go on artificial testosterone if I don't need to. I'm getting close to 40. Once I'm in my 40s, I think I'll be at peace with trying those things out, like if it's necessary. But there are some side effects, be it cardiovascular health, hair health, those different types of things that I feel like so many people are rushing into that and realizing that it can be a slippery slope if you get into that too early. So I think that the common sense thing here is if your energy is low, address it. Just make sure that if you are considering going on testosterone therapy or if you think something's missing, make sure you've patched up any holes or leaks that you have in your lifestyle. Like make sure that sleep is good, that you're exercising and training. Resistance training has been shown to help your testosterone.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're doing those things prior to just going and putting that Band-Aid on it and going, you know, over there right away.
I want to stress about the sleep. I keep seeing, especially like men online, they boast of, yeah, I get 5 hours sleep and I'm like still doing my thing.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I feel like sleep is so underrated. And Jay, you spoke about this in the episode earlier. And getting at least 7-8 hours quality sleep where just like you recover, your body recovers, your immune system recovers. And I think it's such an overlooked thing. And that could very much contribute to testosterone levels. Yeah.
I agree. I just got a quick comment on that. Me and my wife, sleep is different for us. Like I could sleep through a hurricane. I've slept through hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I was born in Florida. But that's not her. Like if a mouse walks across the street, she's up. She's like, what is that? And I do see differences as far as like her immune system and things like that because of the sleep. And I think that's a big, big piece of it. And I've known this with like cousins and things like that, that are more sensitive in their sleep. I've also seen like a correlation of them. When this winter season comes, they're more prone to sickness and like, hey man, you're good, man. I'm down again. Like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, what's, you know what I mean? So how do you see that correlation with sleep and, you know, health?
To me, I mean, it's not the sexiest topic, but I feel like people are respecting it more and more. Like it needs to be strong enough that you have to associate you going out and doing something fun at nighttime. You're borrowing, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're borrowing something. It's like using credit. Like you're going to have to pay it back, and just sleeping in, taking a nap doesn't do the same thing. So sleep has been shown, like when we sleep, we are recalibrating, we're recovering, we are rejuvenating. And especially those earlier hours, like it or not, but like just the way the circadian rhythm works, those hours of like 10 to 1 a.m. for most people is when you were downloading, we're buffering out, recycling like these cells that are damaged. And so it's extremely important. And there's the correlation to how it decreases our testosterone and our energy, our willpower, and so on. And I think that people just have to realize that like you'll get more and be more efficient if you can give yourself that opportunity to get sleep. And like, it's about how many sleep cycles you're getting. So I think that like the 8 hour thing is just an easy thing to say, like, oh, I'm going to give myself that opportunity to get 8 hours of sleep. But it's so important. And we just noticed that, think about this, times where you lose sleep or you're staying up late consecutively, it's more likely that your body's going to be challenged and that your immune system is going to be weaker. And you create this type of cycle. You just have to think like, how do you feel when you stay up till like 2 a.m. and you wake up? Like imagine that brain fog that you have. That's the feeling that you get, but your whole body's going through brain fog, your digestive system, your immune function, all that. And I think that we have to have that correlation of why sleep is so beneficial for getting more out of our brain power, our energy, our mood, and especially our hormones and our gut health, you know,
yeah,
where our immune system is functioning. So I want to bring this home. I got a last fun topic. Given the title of Manhood Experiment, we put this to the test. I want to share my last 30 days, my most recent experiments. And so what I've done differently, rather than just have some observations I could talk about, I journaled every day. And this took a lot of work, especially just with the challenges of life of my most recent 30-day experiments. So my goals for doing these experiments are to have one in each main area of life, like my health, my nutrition, my relationships, my productivity and business. So this last 30 days, some of them are very trivial and basic, but I wanted to do a 1 mile run every day. And even if it was like very slow, whatever it was, I just liked the idea. It could be a slow mile, fast mile, but I wanted to just stick to that. Rain or shine, maybe one throughout the week, I'd try to do a long one. I tried to do a fast run, but daily meditation. So this could be as little as a 4-minute meditation in the day. I was going to stick to this, even if I didn't get to do it first thing, I document the power. And the goal was this, to boost my mind, my focus, my well-being, and just have that clarity in the day. And stopping eating by 7 p.m. a daily gift or unique compliment for my wife to try to improve our just overall relationship, which was hard to do because I didn't always feel like doing something like that. But I knew by doing that, it would be me building that bridge and then checking in on a friend or a family member and then sharing something positive or useful on social media or Twitter. So those were what I was trying to do every single day. I had a little Excel sheet and I went through them. And so the biggest observations I realized was that if you don't have these things planned, you don't have the meaning, and it's not as likely for you to do these things, which sounds like common sense. But by me wanting to create consecutive, make sure that I got as much of these as I could, one, it was hard because life happened and I didn't get to start the day off that I wanted. The biggest observations that I loved was the stopping eating by 7. I wanted to do that purposely to make sure that I was eating enough throughout the day, but I wanted it to do it to make sure that I was getting better quality sleep. I noticed that if I ate up until like 9:15, 9:30 and then went to bed, it was more likely that I could feel something in my stomach and that interfered with the quality of my sleep, like undoubtedly.
Interesting.
By me cutting my eating by 7 was hard because I had to plan to get the bulk of my meals earlier in my day. And what I found is that I wasn't able to do this every day, but I was able to get my biggest meal before 7 and then I might had a dessert if I needed like a snack or something like that to be able to get my calories over. But without a doubt, I noticed how I slept better. I felt less stomach discomfort in the middle of the night, in the morning. And by me getting a bigger lunch, I was able to manage my energy a lot better. And so that was really huge for me.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So like in the mornings, I'm always trying to contemplate what would be most effective. Should I eat then exercise? Or should I exercise than eat? Because I'm trying to come up with my morning routine.
Yeah, the answer to that is whatever you're going to have the most energy with. I think that's what a lot of people will say. Like you're probably splitting hairs because you could, if your energy is good and it's enough to get through a workout, you can eat after your workout. If your big priority is building muscle mass, you probably want to eat prior to your workout if you have the time. But I always kind of have a rule of thumb. If the workout is like an hour or less, eating after is going to be just fine. Your body will adapt to it. If you need some liquid calories or something like that to sip through your workout, you can do that. But if you're prioritizing getting the workout in, do it when you know you can stick to it. And I think unless you're a pro athlete, it doesn't make that much of a difference. So I hope that helps there.
Okay, cool.
So just quickly touching on, again, observations, the meditation thing, I noticed a profound difference. There was times where I found myself kind of being in a funk and I have like 10 or 20 bookmarked ones on a free app called Insight. And some of them were just fun little affirmations. Some of them were just reminding to breathe out of my belly. Some of them were like body awareness ones. And a lot of times I didn't have time to do more than a 5 minute. So it literally was like, that was enough to create this calm focus, shift my state. The checking on a friend or family member made me feel better. One, it made me feel like I had somebody every day that I either wanted to call back that I hadn't got to talk to recently. But it took that weight off my shoulder of like, oh, it's the ball's in my court to reach out and catch up with a friend or family member. And I think that it immediately helped my relationship with my brothers, just being able to have them to rely on. I tried to mix it up and not always be the same people. But that was important for me to be able to improve. And the other ones, like I didn't get as much from the mile run thing was kind of fun. But I think the steps and just walking more, I'll probably get more value from. So I have some ideas that I'm really looking forward to increase my productivity and some things for next month, which I'll share with you guys. But oh, the notes that I had with it was just stick to the plan. You know what I mean? And I think that there's always going to be things that would happen to the day, but I realized that if I could just stick with the plan, I was going to get something from this. And I felt like me knocking that out gave me like a sense of accomplishment and I created momentum out of that. So
For sure.
This was a lot of me talking and rambling today, but I hope you guys...
I had a question for you, Jay,
before
you end the episode. You said something that's very, very interesting early in this episode. You said you check your testosterone and you correlate that with if you should donate blood more.
Yeah.
How does that connect? I thought that was the most interesting thing.
Good question. So as I've dug into research, like based on your blood viscosity and like you have different measurements within your blood, you may have a level of testosterone, but you may not have other like benchmarks with your blood work that are optimal. And for me, I noticed that my free testosterone was higher when I donated blood every 6 weeks or so. And I have type O blood type, so it can help more people as a benefit as well. But like your blood can essentially be thicker and you have an iron buildup, and that excess iron can limit the amount of available testosterone in your body. And so there's been a lot of research that shows that if you have this issue of excessive iron, if you eat a lot of meat, which I eat a lot of quality red meat on a regular basis, so I have elevated iron levels. And so it's a win-win situation. When I donate blood, I'm able to recycle the blood that I have, help other people since I have blood O type, which you know, almost everybody can utilize that way. So I look at it as a win-win, and there's been research to document how that can help, especially your own cardiovascular health and all that as well.
No, that's interesting. I also have type O blood type out here saving the world. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
it feels good.
That actually I might have to look into. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Did you know that, the whole iron and
everything.
I did not
know that.
That's interesting.
Win-win situation.
Dropping nuggets.
Learn something every episode.
Check the research, baby. Yeah. This isn't just ideas. This is some study-based stuff. So that's a wrap for everything that I got for you guys today. I hope my challenge when I talk about health is to encourage people just to raise your standards and realize that you can get more out of yourself. You can bring more to the world, your family, your people, if you're expressing the best version of yourself. My experiment for you guys is it's two parts. It's one, if you don't do blood work, schedule it. If you don't know, you can't fix things. Number two is going into, I started my last one in the middle of the month, but pick 30 days of something really simple that you want to try to do for the consistency factor. And maybe you want to borrow an idea that I have. It could be reading a book review every day. It could be, you know, a cold shower now that we're in seasons where our showers get a little bit colder to build the discipline. It could be doing a non-negotiable 5-minute workout every day, so on. You get the idea, but give yourself 3 things to try for the next 30 days, and then we'll keep you updated on what we're working on and trade some stories here. So thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. Until the next time, this is the Manhood Experiment. We out.
We out.
Boom.
Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of the Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.